Welcome to Deadly Serial. I am your host, Lee Moffitt, and with me, as always, is my lovely sister,
Laura Dedrick. Welcome, everyone.
So happy to be here.
Yes, we've decided to do a little bonus episode of a Deadly Serial in the middle of the week as like a Christmas kind of holiday special, maybe?
Yeah. I think this story kind of is worthy of a Christmas special, I'd say.
Yeah, not necessarily Christmas-centric, but definitely a treat.
Yes.
I guess you could say.
I'd call it a treat, yeah.
It's a treat. So yeah, we just have a couple people we want to thank real quick. Lee, you said?
Stephen Kulo.
Stephen Kulo, we wanted to thank for his continued support. And
Jackie Cole, of course.
Jackie Cole, who is a phenomenal person and our cousin. She is also supporting the podcast, which we appreciate.
And we also had a listener question, our very first email question.
We did.
Email.
We were so excited. We do. Our dear friend Paige just had a couple questions about the Color Bomb episode last week. Well, I guess it was just a few days ago, really. It doesn't seem. Yeah, the Christmas time, everything gets kind of weird.
It really does.
Basically, she wanted to know if the family of Brian Wells was upset that they had to remove his head to take the device off for evidence. And if criminals' bodies are treated differently, as in the crime is more important to solve than the remains of the body. So I did do a little research. Yes, Brian's family was incredibly upset that they had to remove his head. They didn't believe that he had anything to do with it. However, police did believe that he was involved in the conspiracy that led to him having the bomb around his neck. So yes, in a nutshell, criminals are treated differently
when it comes
to that. And yeah, police have no obligation to protect you from anything, basically. And
they're expendable. But here's the thing, is that how did they know that he was in on it? And how do we still know if he was in on it?
We really don't. I mean, it's just weird. That was a crazy case, but yeah, we were just very excited to get our first email. If you have any questions or suggestions about what we should do next, please definitely email us at deadlyserial@gmail.com. We'd be happy about it.
Very, very happy. I love looking through. I check it all the time.
I know. I do too. Like anything, anybody. So yeah, we were definitely excited about it. So yeah, this is kind of a little mini episode.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't want to say that because now that I look at it and think about it, we could get pretty heavy here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. The little bit that I know of is going to be freaking amazing.
It's crazy shit. Okay, this week we are talking about Anatoly Moskovin. That's probably not how you say his last name. He's Russian, okay?
Yeah.
And it's hard.
We're going to mess it up a little bit.
We're going to butcher some names. I do have some things written down phonetically because I'm trying really, really hard because we do have a listener in Russia now, which is blowing our freaking minds.
Yes, so, thank you.
Yes, thank you. So in honor of that, we decided to do a Russian story and we are doing Anatoly Moskovin, the Lord of the Mummies.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Anatoly Moskovin was born on September 1st, 1966 in Russia.
No.
I can't pronounce these names.
Nizhny.
Nizhny Novgorod, Russia.
Novgorod. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, we're going to stop doing that.
Okay.
You know where it is. It's in Russia. It's the fifth largest Russian city. Okay?
Yeah, come on.
He was born there. He was a very intelligent child. He was introverted. He would read a lot and write as well. He was a good kid who struggled to make friends due to being socially awkward. But he was happy to be left alone to do his own thing. Which sounds like a lot of intelligent children.
Yeah, up till now, I can totally relate to this guy.
Yeah, he just wants to do his own thing. Has trouble making friends, you know.
Yes.
On March 4th, 1979, when Anatoly was 12, He went with a group of classmates to find recycled paper. So apparently there is this thing in Russia, Lee, where children are rewarded for bringing in paper. They make it like a contest
to recycle.
See who can collect, to recycle, to collect the most recyclable paper. It's like a he had a contest with his class, which is strange, but whatever. Okay.
Sounds horrible.
So he came across this big piece of cardboard, and you know, so he was like, score. And that he saw a group of people wearing all black, carrying candles and singing in a foreign language. He had stumbled upon a funeral. As he tried to leave, a man from the funeral pulled him back toward the coffin, telling Antoly that he had to kiss the dead 11-year-old girl, Natasha Petrova, that was lying in the coffin. She had been electrocuted while stepping out of the shower, and it was her funeral that he was at. The girl's mother kissed Anatoly's head and told him that she would give him candy if he kissed her dead daughter. And remember, he is 12 years old right now. He was understandably not, yes, very, very weird. He was not okay with this, but they forced him to kiss the girl. I mean, physically forced him to kiss her several times, pushed his face up to her. So this was very strange. He was also given two copper rings from the girl's mother. One was for him to wear. The other was placed on the deceased girl's finger. They told him not to tell anyone about what happened for 40 days. They gave him money and fruit and sent him on his way. So it was like a fucked up posthumous wedding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
I was gonna say, like, what did he need to keep a secret? The ring, or the fact, like, what is that?
Does that mean? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that he did throw away the fruit and he did spend the money.
Oh yeah.
But that just kind of set a tone.
Could be a trigger.
Yeah, for sure. He would later go on to write about this childhood traumatic event and Necrologies, which is a publication dedicated to cemeteries and obituaries.
I prefer necromancy.
He wrote for them a lot. Yeah, Necrologies. He would write for them a lot. He would later say that this strange marriage would lead to a belief in magic and a fascination with the dead, claiming that Natasha Petrova would visit him in his dreams. These dreams escalated to the point where he actually told his parents about them. They took him to the doctor, who blamed everything on puberty.
Well, yeah, he's 12 years old.
Right? You're just going crazy. So the doctor prescribed him valerian root and sent him on his way. For those of you that don't know, valerian root is a mild natural sedative for sleep disorders. It's basically nothing. What?
Practically a placebo.
Yeah, it's just one of those root things. So
I don't know. I'm sure it's good for you.
I mean, he was a kid. You don't want to give him anything too strong, but he was definitely dismissed.
Giving him crap about, you know, like the puberty thing, like that's freaking ridiculous. Like he's just blaming it on that.
That's definitely got just kind of pushed aside by that doctor. So the dreams continued. Natasha visited Anatoly one night and told him that he could pass the dreams on to somebody else. So he was pretty much just losing it at this point, obviously. So he was all for this. Natasha told him in order to pass the burden or the curse on, he would have to use black magic. She told him a spell that required a tooth from a classmate. Side note, I do not know how he got this tooth. I would like to hear the story of how he got a tooth from a classmate.
If you know, email us at
deadlyfeatherallergy.com. Let me know, because I'm just very curious about that. So anyway, that would in turn pass the curse of the dreams on to the owner of the tooth. After this, he no longer dreamed of Natasha, so he believed that the curse worked and that the tooth was a successful spell.
It's the real deal.
Yeah. In 2003, he met a woman named Yulia Grom. At this time, he was a member of the Luciferians and was performing dark magic. So I looked up Luciferians, and I think they're either very similar to Satanism,
yeah.
Which basically they think that humans should be focused on this life and how to make the most of every single day, and the ability to recognize both good and evil and to accept consequences. So it's actually okay.
Yeah.
That
sounds not bad. It's not like, you know, we're killing cats and kids, kittens.
Exactly. We
have good and evil in all of us, in every single human being. And to organize that is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like that, focus on this life, you know, make the most of every single day. So every a lot of these day. Religions, huh?
Every single day, live, laugh, love. Yeah. Laugh like you've never laughed before.
So the Luciferians, I thought that was interesting. But because he was a member of the Luciferians, he was celibate. So Yulia and Anatoly entered a non-sexual relationship due to her spiritual beliefs and his celibacy.
Excellent.
Yeah, and they were both cool with this. They just wanted companionship, so it worked out.
Of course. There's a lot of relationships that are like that.
Yeah, all kinds of different relationships that work.
Yeah.
In his adult life, he was a historian and was multilinguistic.
Linguini.
I can barely speak one language. He spoke 13, and he was self-taught. He taught himself how to speak 13 languages.
That's incredible.
He traveled. That's amazing. Like that. I can't. Yeah. He is a very intelligent guy. He traveled a lot. He taught on the college level. He was known by his colleagues to be extremely intelligent, if a bit eccentric. One colleague even calling his work priceless. He was kind, but somewhat abrasive and hard to get along with. He was a self-proclaimed expert on cemeteries. He called himself a necropolist, which is not a word.
No, but a necromancer is.
Yeah. And one who
raises the dead?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He lived with his parents during all of this. After a disagreement with the university, he started tutoring children in foreign language and history, which he enjoyed. Soon after, the only money coming into the household from him was the writing of articles and tutoring.
So that was it.
That was it. He was living with his parents.
What are his parents like? Or are we going to get to them later?
We're going to get to them. Clueless.
In every sense of the word.
Both Anatoly and Yulia wanted a child. Unfortunately, this was not possible due to their belief system and their non-sexual relationship.
Sure.
You know, so they decided they were going to adopt a child. Mm-hmm. But he did not make enough money from writing and tutoring for them to be able to adopt, which was probably for the best. I mean, dude was still living with his parents.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at this time he's in his late 30s, which, hey, you know, you do you, but maybe don't adopt when you live with your parents and don't have a job. That's probably not the best thing.
Yeah. If you can't take care of yourself, maybe not have another kid. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. People do that all the time though. So.
Yeah.
So he continued to practice black magic. His parents were used to his shenanigans, and for the most part, they just left him alone to do whatever he wanted. They were never thought much about it.
Yeah, he's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, just leave him alone. He's fine. He would mention things like talking with the dead, summoning spirits, and his parents would be like, "That's nice, dear. You know, just mm-hmm. weird."
That's
weird
wonderful, stuff. Honey. We love you. Go away.
Yeah, go to your room. Go.
Yep.
So living at home really cramped Anatoly's non-sex life. Him and I crack myself up sometimes.
I know, me too. You have to, especially now.
So him and Yulia broke up, and in 2005 he was hired by a well-known historian who was writing a book called Nizhny Novgorodo Acropolis.
Nice.
Thank you very much. So he wanted Anatoly to travel around the world and visit different cemeteries. This was right up his alley. He loved them cemeteries. So he did this for 3 years. He collected information and researched the cemeteries. He would even clean off gravestones to get names and dates and births and of death off of them. He would record everyone in the cemetery that he was visiting. It was actually really interesting. If he wasn't, you know,
we'll see.
It's kind of cool. Respectful thing to do, you know. It was
absolutely
good.
Yeah, like it's totally normal to be, you know, obsessed with death. I am. I mean, a lot of people, you know, don't like to think about it and, you know, shy away from it, but it's literally what we're born to do.
I know.
You know, it's fascinating as fuck.
It scares me.
It does me too.
I think everyone's obsessed with it. It's just something we try not to think about.
Yeah, well, I use it as entertainment, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff, yeah. It's good times.
Mm-hmm.
While visiting a Muslim cemetery, he found a coffin that was empty, waiting for its occupant to be placed there the following day. Dude slept in the coffin. The gravediggers found him the following morning, understandably confused, I'm sure. He just crashed there for the night in the coffin.
Just chilled? Did he, like, pass out? Or?
No. He actively laid in the coffin and fell asleep overnight in the cemetery.
Aw. It's like...
Yeah.
That's sweet. It's like camping out with a bunch of people.
Yeah, you're. I don't know. It's just red flags everywhere.
Hello.
Between 2005 and 2007, he visited 752 cemeteries, recovering over 1,000 lost people. Like people who had passed, but they couldn't find their final resting place, or people that were like, missing and they didn't know was dead.
Like the most noble thing you can do.
Yeah, it was really nice. Time
looking for people so other families can have closure of their loved ones.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah, over 1,000 people he found. So that was really cool. After September 11, 2001, a lot of people were anti-Muslim. Several graves of Muslims in the area had been desecrated, and since everyone knew that old Anatoly loved to hang out and occasionally sleep in the cemetery, people immediately suspected that it was him that was doing this. This prompted the police to raid his home. He was then 45, and he still lived with his parents. Do we trigger warning this?
Yeah.
Trigger this warning. Yeah, trigger warning, dead bodies,
dead kids specifically, but in a way you'll see
it's not as bad as, well,
it's not
listen
as bad
if
as you
think. Want turn it yeah, off if you don't want to listen.
I'm tired of disclaimers. You know what, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. There they found 29 human-sized dolls. They were all dressed in fine clothing. Some faces had makeup on, others he had covered in fabric. One doll, surrounded by a hoard of old books and papers, sat on the couch. She was wearing a knitted hat with a pin rose and a purple sweater. Her legs were crossed and dressed in white tights, and she was wearing white shoes. There was another doll nearby. Huh?
So this guy's just got dolls everywhere. Like,
he's got a bunch of dolls. Yeah. There was another doll nearby, this one with long curly blonde hair, dressed in a wedding dress with a veil, and appeared to be around 10 to 12 years old doll. Well, you know, like, looks like a 10 to 12 year old. When the police moved one of these dolls, it played music. Upon closer examination by the police, they found these to be mummified human remains of 29 females aged 3 to 25.
What do you mean it made music? How did
Investigators later found that he had placed music boxes and or toys inside the bodies of the dead girls so they would make sounds when he touched them. Some of the bodies had personal belongings inside of them. One had a piece of her own gravestone inside of her body, another a toe tag with the time and date of her death, and another with a dried human heart inside of her.
A dried human heart that, like, not hers, like a different human heart?
I don't know. I couldn't find that, but I'm assuming it was hers.
Okay. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So Anatoly admitted to investigators that he would take the girls from their graves, stuff their decaying corpses with rags, and then sew them back up. He would then wrap nylon tights around their faces or paint doll faces on them. He would use buttons or like toy eyes, teddy bear eyes, and insert them.
Googly eyes on the fucking things.
He googly put googly eyes. Yeah. And he would insert them into the girls' eye sockets so they could, quote unquote, watch cartoons with him.
No. Okay, that's really, 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 really unsettling.
It's incredibly unsettling. There's more.
Are they watching Looney Tunes?
I don't know what they're watching. What are they watching in Russia?
I don't know. Please email us at deadlycereal@gmail.com.
Yeah, what cartoons you got over there?
Yeah.
One listener.
But, oh my goodness.
Yeah. He claimed he dug up the graves of the young girls because he was lonely. He was single and desperately wanted children. He stated that he did it because he was hoping that someday science would find a way to bring them back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like obsessed with, you know, death and corpses and people, and no one understands him, and he longs for someone to understand him. He's like the Incredible Hulk. You know?
Kinda.
A little bit.
Except a little bit.
He dolls out of people.
But they're already dead. Yeah, I don't remember. They are all already dead. He didn't kill anybody. But
it's just the desecration of it is so much.
Yeah. It gets pretty messed up. So he said that, yeah, hopefully they'd find a way to bring them back to life. He preserved the girls with a combination of baking soda and salt. He would then let them dry out in a secure place close to the cemetery. Once dried, he would carry them home and make them into dolls. In an effort to prevent the bodies from shrinking as they dried, he would wrap their limbs in strips of cloth, sometimes adding wax masks decorated with fingernail polish over their faces, and then covering them in bright kids' clothes and putting a wig on them.
Okay. You need to see these pictures in order to really grasp how fucking creepy and horrifying this is that someone can do. Someone has done this. It's art, technically.
It's rough. It's they're everywhere. I mean, you can't Google this guy without seeing at least one doll. You know, and then if you really dive, you can see a lot of stuff, and it's really messed up.
A lot more, and it's really, really bad.
It's rough. He even celebrated their birthdays as if they were his own real live kids. He had his favorites, even putting a few dolls in the garage because he had grown to dislike them. One corpse he had admitted to keeping for 9 years.
He'd grown to dislike them. He had a fight. They had an argument.
Yeah, they had a tiff over what cartoon to watch, and he put them in the garage.
Yeah, one of them was like, I don't like drama. I don't like to start anything. But if Tiffany says one more thing, I swear to God, I'm going to kill that bitch.
I can't. I'm done with her.
Both of you guys go in the fucking garage.
I can't handle this drama. Oh, God. We are terrible. So remember, dude lived with his parents. I think I've said that like 5 times. Here is what they had to say, but it's like, it makes it an extra level of crazy because his parents are there.
He's literally a 20-year-old virgin who, this is what would actually happen if it was real.
Yeah.
You actually like take dead bodies home and sew them up and cuddle with them because you're so fucking lonely.
Yeah. That's more accurate than,
the 40-year-old version.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So Elvira, his 76-year-old mother, is quoted as saying, "We saw these dolls, but we did not suspect that there were dead bodies inside. We thought it was his hobby to make such big dolls and did not see anything wrong with it."
You see something sus immediately about these dolls. They're too...
Yes!
They're too... The scale of them is too accurate for a human. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's gotta be a human. How do you not know? And another thing is the smell. I guess...
That's another thing. No, I'll tell you. Hold on. Okay. So he was charged with about a dozen crimes, mostly the desecration of graves. He was accused of desecrating more than 150 graves. And this is when the Russian media called him the Lord of the Mummies, which I think is just amazing.
That's a wonderful title.
Huh?
That's a wonderful title. Lord of the
Mummies. I know, right? Lord of the Mummies. Pretty badass. But it's terrible, of course. Everyone that knew him was shocked. He was a quiet man, kept to himself. No one would have suspected him to do anything like this, you know, like you always hear. Every time the door opened, it smelled like death, okay? But they just thought it was the basement, which had a very dank smell in the complex in which he lived. But you know what smells like rotting flesh? Rotting flesh! Call the fucking cops!
Yeah.
Like, that's a very unmistakable smell.
I don't know. I guess denial's a really powerful thing.
It must be, man. Or that basement must have been real rough because they're like, oh, it's the basement. It's like, no, it's dead decaying bodies. 29 of them, to be exact. Call the cops, people.
Right under your nose.
I don't want to get involved. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, it's none of my business.
He did confess to 44 counts of grave desecration and tampering with dead bodies. He said to the victim's parents, "You abandoned your girls. I brought them home and warmed them up."
Oh, like a burrito. Wow.
It's disgusting. He knew everything about his dolls. He knew how they died. He knew their names. He knew their family. He knew their age. And anything that was on the gravestone, anything he could find in their obituaries, he knew all about these girls.
Wow.
Yeah. He treated them as if they were still alive and the people that they were, and he celebrated their real birthdays. It's insane. He started doing this in 2003 when he dug up his first body. This coincided with the argument he had had with his parents about the adoption. So I guess he was like, screw you, mom and dad. I'm going to go dig up a kid.
Yeah. That's,
Anatoly told the authorities not to bother reburying the girls too deep because he would just come and dig them back up once he was released.
Sure. Yeah. He's mentally ill and he needs to be away from society. He's one of them.
Yeah, he is. Parents and family of the big. Yeah. It's a very similar disorder. Parents and. Now, of course, we have to.
I love Ed Gein.
Yes. Great guy. Salt of the earth.
Yeah, he killed a couple people, but.
Yeah, he did, but. Parents and family of the victims were strongly against giving Anatoly his freedom, obviously. One of the family members said, "This creature brought fear, terror, and panic into my life. I shudder to think that he will have freedom to go where he wants. Neither my family nor the families of the other victims will be able to sleep peacefully. He needs to be kept under surveillance. I insist on a life sentence only under medical supervision without the right of free movement." Another one said, "I find it hard to grasp the scale of this sickening work, but for 9 years, he was living with my mummified daughter in his bedroom. I had her for 10 years. He had her for 9 years.
This is another thing. It is like, my opinion on death is kind of like Danny DeVito's, and It's Always Sunny, just throw me in the trash. Yeah. Because I'm done. I don't care. You know? Yeah,
I agree.
But this has kind of made me think twice about it. Like, I don't want to end up a fucking doll in a basement, yeah, you know, or a garage.
Yeah, like propped up in the corner of somebody's bedroom watching shitty Russian cartoons.
Like, I don't know. If there's anything true about supernatural and ghosts and stuff like that, that's got to stir up some stuff.
When you would think
wrap up somebody and celebrate their birthday and talk to them like they're alive.
Yeah, 29 times over. You'd think that would lead to some vengeful spirits or whatever, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I would, personally. I wouldn't want, you know, googly eyes on my fucking face.
Or a music box in my chest.
Yeah, that especially. That's
just... That really got me, that when they moved the body, it started playing music.
Yeah, dude, I've never heard any.
Oh, I have not either. It really got me. He was actually diagnosed with schizophrenia, finally, and was sentenced to time in a psychiatric ward. In 2018, he was given the opportunity to continue treatment outpatient and go home. However, in 2019, it was found in a new psychiatric evaluation that it was too early for him to be released. An article released by the New York Post just last month, he stated that he refused to apologize to the parents of his victim, saying, "These girls are girls. There are no parents in my view. I don't know any of them," he said. "Besides, they buried their daughters, and this is where I believe their rights have finished," he added. "So no, I would not apologize." As of right now, he is still being treated in a psychiatric hospital in Russia. He is currently trying to get out so he can move in with his new girlfriend. I bet she's a peach. The crazy little bonus episode there. Pretty messed up stuff.
Anatoly, who knew? Ugh.
Wow.
I can't unsee that.
No, I can't unsee that. I did not watch the video of the walkthrough of his house because I was like, okay, no, I don't really want to dive that deep. But you go and you just see picture after picture after picture if you start Googling him, of all the dolls, which are really, you know, decaying human corpses.
Yeah, well, he's seasoning them up so they don't rust or anything like that, so.
Yeah, he has them all cured.
Like jerky. That's why jerky is so expensive.
Yeah, the process of it.
It's just too much.
Too much, too.
Cost. At $10 a bag, that's what costs.
At $10 a bag, yeah, for 6 pieces. I don't know what they think they're getting away with jerky prices.
Oh man, how do we get to jerky?
Dead people. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That we are so disrespectful. We do not mean to be.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what he was making out of them.
Yep, that's true.
Drying them up.
Yep. So let's talk about this thing we have going on next week.
Yes, Wednesday, we're pretty excited. Tuesday the 29th.
Tuesday the 29th at 9 o'clock, we are doing a Facebook Live Q&A.
Kinda, yeah.
Kind of like hang out,
depending on if anybody shows up, you know.
Right, if anybody joins us, we'll answer questions, we'll take suggestions, we're just going to kind of chat and hang out for a little bit. I don't think we'll talk about a case or anything, but if you have questions about our cases, we'll do our best to answer them and just kind of hang out and get to know you guys.
Some past and future cases, perhaps.
For sure, just yeah.
We'll just chit chat, just kind of like what we're doing now, except it'll be in a video.
Yes, live. Some people have said that they would like to see us, so we are going to, you know, show you.
Here's my ugly mug. I warned
you. You're not ugly.
None of us. I think we're both okay.
We're both solid sixes.
And in Missouri, that's good. Missouri.
Yeah, I know. That's good. We're like an 8 in Missouri.
Yeah. We're like 1s in LA, but in Missouri.
Oh. I don't even exist in LA. Like,
No.
guys, we will have a good holiday and we will be back.
Oh my goodness. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy this holidays.
A year for the books. And I want to say that this little podcast that I'm doing has really cheered me up quite a bit. And I really appreciate all the support and love you guys give me. Thank you.
I agree. This has helped me a ton this year. And I'm just glad that we were able to do something positive, constructive, and fun. And it's been, I've really enjoyed it. So we're going to definitely keep going.
Absolutely. Full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead.
Got a lot of things going down the pipeline. Get ready for some surprises.
Heck yeah. For sure. Yeah, we're really excited about it. So next Tuesday at 9, Facebook Live. And we will have another episode uploaded on Sunday as usual. So enjoy the holiday and we will check you later.
You guys be safe out there.
Bye, guys.